It's a catchy tune, you know? What can I
Right?
say?
You can't go wrong with it.
Do, do, do.
Just leave do, do, do.
Oh my god.
Tyler!
Yo, 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 what's going on? Sir Rick? Sir Rick of Michigan?
Sir Rick? There's definitely not a sir in front of mine.
That well, is my father.
Sir, not me.
Thinking, you know, because you're so knightly. You're a knightly sir.
Yeah, I'm more like a hedge knight.
That's fair.
Well, you were playing a knightly game, as it were.
Sure. Ooh.
Well, so, I mean, to preface it, part of it is because I'm now a part of the committee for the Michigan GT.
Right, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, over the next year, I think I'm going to be learning a whole bunch of smaller games.
Inferior as they may be, I understand.
All I'm hearing is that we now have an inside guy to get Dead Zone to like 30 tables.
There you go. That's all I'm hearing, too.
So it's everyone mistakenly thinks they're signing up for 40K, and then all of a sudden they realize, oh, I'm here to play Dead Zone.
Oh, okay.
It's not like you couldn't learn it fast enough.
No, right?
So, yeah.
Turn it in half, and you know how to play Dead Zone.
That's pretty true. So I know you guys don't usually have a start to these things, but how are we going to start this thing?
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop.
Generally, how the start goes is, hey guys, I'm Rick. You're listening to Dead Zone the Podcast. With us is, of course,
Brian.
There we go. And luckily for us today, we actually get a special guest host who is part of the reason why I got into Dead Zone in the first place. And that is?
That would be me, I suppose. I'm Tyler Schultz of Dreadpath Zone Minor Internet Celebrity Fame.
Woo!
Woo, woo!
Dreadpath Zone. Doo-doo. Dreadpath Zone.
And I have a question for you guys real quick.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why haven't I been on the show yet? What's your deal?
It's been a crazy time.
I know, I've been listening. You guys have like so many things going on all the time, but I'm just giving you a go.
Not only have we had a whole bunch of stuff going on in our world, you kind of went all out Kings of War.
Well, you know. That happened.
I mean, and you have an amazing army that a couple years ago at Adepticon was just gorgeous, and I loved it.
Armies.
Well, yeah.
Sir.
Yeah. Okay, so Kings of War, I only have one army, but I have 4,000 points.
Nice.
I respect that.
I'm accumulating armies.
You are.
Yes, I have my elves, and then I'm building up a Northern Alliance.
Woohoo!
And I have a whole bunch of forces of nature that I haven't put together yet.
You know, Northern Alliance really is the Rebs of Panathor, so that's fair.
It was one of those things, like...
amalgamation of all the other races who are like, yeah, let's band together and kick some butt. Like, that's pretty much them, it's just colder.
And I do love, like, the lore wrapped around the Northern Alliance. Like, there's a lot of mysterious stuff going on in the North. But it was one of those things where, like, everyone kind of hopped on the Northern Alliance boat just because they were like the new and you know definitely worthy of it, the best looking models that Mantic was putting out at the time, but now that things have cooled, as they say.
I see what you did there. Yeah, I see what you're doing.
Yeah. So I'm gonna be building up a force of those guys.
You need to chill. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you know what I mean? Nudge lore?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Are we going to do that all night?
Yes.
In a word, yes. Yes, absolutely. 100%.
So, Dead Zone.
Well,
third edition just came out.
It did.
What do you think, Tyler?
I think we're in that really exciting time where, you know, because like you and the three of us have kind of been on the inside scoop for at least a little bit of time for me. I think you guys were in there longer, but it's just great to see the other people, the masses, you know, like all the excitement of just everybody and their mother was like playing Dead Zone and posting terrain pictures and, you know, like, oh, I just got my starter and, oh, what's a good list to start with and what's... How do these factions play? I've gotten a bunch of messages from just random people who are like, yeah, I heard you like this game. I'm like, yeah, that's me. That's me. Yeah, what can I do you for? And then I'll let them know, like, stuff.
So what email should we have all of our listeners send questions to?
None email. I don't do none email. Emails for old
like Toby. Tyler on social media and say, hey, Tyler. Help me.
Yeah, pretty much. Or just like comment on literally any YouTube video and I'll see it. So I'm always available. I'm not hard to reach.
Speaking of YouTube video, you did an excellent intro to Dead Zone, kind of twofold of one part lore, one part like mechanics, and one part's memes galore. Tell us about the production of that.
Yeah, one of the things I've always been told about like content creation and just like, you know, any sort of, you know, entertainment like that is basically what you want to do is make content that you wish existed. That's why I started Dreadpath Zone in the first place, because I was like, oh, nobody's doing Warpath battle reports. Nobody's doing Dead Zone battle reports. I'll do my own, you know, so I just kind of hopped in by the bootstraps and went for it. And then I was like, you know what kind of video we don't have? And I was actually watching, it was a For Honor video, because I had been out of the game of For Honor, the video game, for quite a while, but it's been going on forever now. I think the game released in like 2015.
Yeah.
But I saw a really cool video that was a how-to For Honor, and I was like, this is genius, because it brings back everybody that knows the game or doesn't know the game, and just kind of puts everyone back on the baseline. And it's just chock full of memes and quick cuts and just really fun. And I was like, I could do that for Dead Zone. Now that I'm all hyped up about Dead Zone again with third edition, I've never had a better time to do this. And because nothing quite exists like that out there, you know, and it's great, like all the stuff that Mantic's been doing, you know, promoting third edition and showing off the rules and, you know, having Rob and Matt sit there and explain how it works and, you know, that kind of traditional game demo stuff. I was like, you know, there's something different that I could do. And I just really like making a lot of references and memes and stuff, so it was just fun. But yeah, it's the first kind of video I've ever done to that extent, with like voiceover and you know, all the files and stuff. And it took a lot of effort and downloading tons and tons of images. Like, I think my file, I tried to do it's really hard to tell at the end of the video, and I'm like, it was a lot of work. I showed how many files are in my folder for that video, and it's like just under 500 of like random GIFs and pictures and audio files and music. And so it's like, holy crap. you know, and it's just a fun thing to do, and I'm just really happy it turned out the way it did. And it's been received incredibly well, like by far the most explosive like views. And I mean, it's still small potatoes in the world of YouTube and stuff, but yeah, I'm pretty proud of it. I think it's really fun, and it's a good place for people to start. And for us, you know, the people who already know, it's just fun to watch stuff like that, because that content doesn't really exist. So that's why I did it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. It really is a fun video, and that video will be in the show notes below to go check it out, because it is a blast.
And it's great on rewatch, you know. It's just great on rewatch. You catch new memes and things.
Three times now, man.
Only three? I'm disappointed, Rick.
Well, we've been kind of busy too.
I'm just kidding. That's awesome. Thank you. But I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. I mean, you know, I just wanted to make something that was just a lot of fun, and yeah, that's what we always try to do in all our battle reports and stuff too, is just have a bunch of fun. So it was a different avenue, but it's same core of just having a good time with my favorite game.
So is your partner in crime like back for good now, or is it kind of hit and miss still?
Oh yeah, Tim is one city away now.
Okay.
He's back from Japan, so there's no longer the Pacific Ocean in between us, which is great.
That's good.
So it's been fun to hang out with him again. And what's funny about Tim is Tim's not really a wargamer. We just like hanging out, and wargaming happens to be what we do. So like, he's not super active. He doesn't like do all the painting and stuff, but he just enjoys playing the game, which is why he's so much fun. Yeah. And you know, Tim and I go way, 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 way back, like itty bitty little children. We went to the same church growing up, so we've always just kind of known each other forever and ever. And then he went to college up where I went to college at CSU, so it just never stopped. And then Dead Zone just happens to be like a really fun thing that we like to do. That, you know, it's always just, it's just an excuse to make a bunch of references and make each other, you know, laugh. So it's a good time.
Well, and that is the great thing about watching your content is you really have a passion and a love for this. Whether it's Kings of War or Dead Zone, obviously more so on the Dead Zone side as far as I'm concerned.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm very passionate about Kings of War, but I feel like it just doesn't... I said this on Counter Charge too, but it just doesn't lend itself as well to, like, in the moment, just playing the game kind of content. To me,
yeah.
I feel like the hyper-produced, like, really awesome stuff that comes out of Kings of War is excellent. Like, there's a bunch of voiceover battle reports that are really good. And then, like, obviously the cream of the crop, I think, are the Mastercrafted ones that Kyle did or does. But, like, those take a lot of time and effort, whereas, like, the Dead Zone ones, you just kind of, like, start playing and then hit record when you're moving. And it's really fun.
There's a lot that happens in the minute-to-minute.
But I find myself thinking about Kings of War and, like, building new lists and thinking about awesome miniatures I can use a lot. Like, that takes up a ton of my time. It's just recently that the Dead Zone's crawled its way back into the Venn diagram of my favorite stuff. not that it ever went away, but it took a backseat, especially with Tim in Japan. And so now it's just cool to have it, like, in full swing again.
Absolutely. So... You've been playing. Have you had much chance to play third edition with him?
The only games of third edition I've played have been on camera. Those two. we basically never play otherwise. It's just so much fun to do the camera stuff and, you know, try to figure out what we can do. But yeah, I want to play more third edition. I think there's a few people that are kind of in my area that are a little bit interested. So I need to kind of, you know, cultivate that a little bit, perhaps.
Sure.
And especially now that I can point people in the direction of a good starter set, that's going to be a lot easier. Because it was such a hard sell in second edition. And as much as I love Mantic, they dropped the ball in second edition on the starter set. I just didn't like it. And so it's hard for me to, like, promote it. But this one, I'm, like, genuinely very proud of. Not that I had anything to do with it, but...
Right.
I'm like, I'm proud to, like, point people in the direction.
Proud of the game that, you know, you champion, and so it's always nice to, you know, just, like, have that extra good step forward where you don't have to work as hard to demonstrate to people how good this game is. It's definitely Mantic, you know, firing on all cylinders. Between the, you know, the hype videos they've put together leading up to third edition, all the, like, the little social media posts and stuff, like the Maison Lab reports, the newsletter.
Yeah, Rob was having a lot of fun with those, you can tell.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so goofy and so Rob, but I loved it.
and then, like you're saying, the third edition box itself is a great starter set. And even... I know those of us that are already really entrenched in Dead Zone are like, I want that box set.
Dude, like, when I opened the box set, like, I just did all the terrain in the past couple days, and I forgot, I mean, I didn't forget, but I sort of forgot just how freaking fun it is to build the terrain. It's been so many years for me because I've had the same stuff that I just kind of rearranged and it always works.
Right.
But, like, I haven't actually, like, sat down and just built from straight up tiles and connectors in a long time, and God, it's so much fun. You can make so much cool stuff. It's awesome.
And I will say too, like, I was actually putting mine together. I have a demo tomorrow I've had to get the little starter diagram set up and all that together and painted and whatnot. And I was messaging Rick. I'm like, man, this is actually, like, the cleanest, like, these pieces have gone together too. Like, I've had the least amount of trouble.
Buttery smooth. It's crazy.
It seems like this is like a reprint of the scenery because, yeah, like it was the same thing for me when I opened up mine and I'm looking at it going, wait, this is, there's not much cutting I need to do to make these go together at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just like clean up a couple spots where the sprue was and then it's like wham bam, thank you ma'am. Like it's super easy. And it's easier than it used to be too. And I you know, because before I feel like the friction was a little bit more frictiony, so I don't know what they did, but it's slightly different and it's even easier, which mm-hmm. is impressive.
Yeah. Don't know what you did, Mantic, but keep on doing it.
Also, all the cyberpunk doodads, that box with all the little signs and all the stuff is just so cool. The trash can and the ATM machine, like I love it. It's so cool.
Now I gotta say, like on that note, like you also had a little video that you put out about terrain that you projects that you'd had, and the crazy like cyberpunk widgets and things that you had built. And I gotta say, those are super creative, and I'm planning to steal like half of them, at least half of them, just because I have parts for half of them.
Yeah, absolutely. like that's the whole point. It's just to inspire other people to make cool stuff. That's I don't know. I go through these weird fits of like roller coaster amounts of hobby motivation and creativity, and then just huge slumps where I do nothing at all. And
I know that feeling.
I was in the highest of peaks. Like, there was that week where I painted like 100 enforcers, and that's not even kidding. It was literally in a week I painted 100 of them.
100 of them?
Yeah. So I did that, and then I did the terrain, and then I had the ramen noodle idea, and it's just like all the stuff happened all at once, and I was just like insanely motivated. And I'm coming down off that a little bit, but it's been a fun ride. But yeah, the cyberpunk stuff I'm really pumped about. Like it's just a different vibe for the terrain. Just keeps it so fresh and so different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because like the last time you had a big inspiration like that, wasn't that when you did your Warpath table? Your Firefight Warpath table?
Possibly. At least in terms of like Warpath universe stuff. I think before that my biggest crazy push of hobby motivation was probably all my Brotherhood stuff for Kings of War. That was like during lockdown. I did like so much for that. I should probably make a video about it because I'm really proud of the way all that stuff turned out. But
nice, yeah.
You should, because I'd like to see it. I mean, I know it's not.
Everybody wants me to do videos for everything, though. It's crazy.
You should like, just keep doing it.
Since getting back into videos, people are like, oh, I would love to see a video like this. I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. I didn't think of that. They're like, oh, you should think about this. I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. I should think of that. I should also invent more time.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be cool. If you have a time machine, if anyone out there listening has a time machine, holler at your boy.
Well, you know, daylight savings time is literally tomorrow, so...
So you have
an extra hour is what I'm saying.
I can crank out another hour worth of painting all my stuff.
Thank you, Benjamin Franklin.
So enough about me, though. What have you guys been... I know you guys have the whole like GT and stuff. Have you guys done anything with like your terrain, like your personal terrain? Or have you guys just been doing like demo board kind of stuff to get, you know, into full third edition hype mode?
Well,
I've only done the demo side of the third edition board. And then, of course, my tables for the GT. Like, terrain-wise, that's all I've done.
Also, okay, so I'm not a Pathfinder. I've very rarely done live in-person demos. I did one at the Kings of War tournament I went to in Idaho at Refugees of the Old World, which is really successful. It was really fun. But how do you... I mean, I'm sure you guys like it, but do you like the backside demo board thing? Because I thought that was a genius idea.
So I've now done two demo nights, and that map and setup is perfect. Like, so when you're doing a demo of any of these games, you want it to be quick, clean, and easy to understand. The way you set up that map with all the rules around it, the two, just three models each... makes it so quick and easy to get in and learn the game. Like, we've all talked about the fact that you can learn Dead Zone in a turn and a half, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But this, the way it's set up now is like a new player can look down and see everything and go, oh, okay, I can do this. And it just goes.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because my buddy Tim Lonis in Nebraska, he does lots of MDF printing and 3D printing and all that stuff. But one of the coolest things he ever did, and you guys probably know about it, but he made a 3x3, like 3 foot by 3 foot frame for Kings of War Vanguard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And on the borders, it's got all the rules. And I thought that was the smartest thing ever. I just wish I liked Vanguard more, but that's a totally separate topic. But yeah, I thought that was genius. And so to see that on the backside of the Dead Zone board, I was like, oh my god, that is going to be great. I hope that really works for the game.
I think it will. I'm realizing as I was like painting up all the terrain and stuff, oh, I need to paint up 3 Veermen quick. Because I don't have them.
What? You don't have Veermen?
I don't have Veermen.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
I guess I'm the weird one here, though. You guys, like, have certain factions you play. I just, like, do them all.
No, I have almost all of them.
I've been accumulating them and getting around to painting stuff. But, yeah, it's been a slow process. I've got Rebs. Ooh, surprise. And...
Lugo Rebs, man, has Rebs.
Yeah. GCPS was like my second force I've ever painted. Then Enforcers, then
Marauders.
I did Forge Fathers was actually my second. I just haven't played Forge Fathers in a long time. I got most of them. I don't have Veermen, Nameless. I have some Asterians primed, but I haven't painted them yet.
Any Plague Boys?
I do have Plague now, yeah. And it was funny because everyone's asking me, it's like, oh, are you changing teams and everything? I'm like, no, I need stuff for the Rebs to fight.
True.
So it's like, and it's kind of funny because even like painting my Plague, like, was actually inspired and motivated by the story I was doing for the writing contest that Golden the Gamer has been running. And it was like, okay, if I wanted to, say, play the scenario that I'm writing about and maybe take pictures, I never got around to doing this part, but like, I wanted to have the models ready to go. And so...
I like that kind of commitment, Brian. That's great.
Yeah.
To the world building of your story.
Absolutely. And you know, we have the fourth quarter one coming up here, and I'm kind of planning to bring things kind of all back to that first story I wrote for the contest. So it'll be fun. It's all a shared universe. My MCU plan in the Warpath universe.
The Brian Cinematic Universe?
Yes.
It works.
Yeah.
His stories are really good.
Oh, thanks. But as far as terrain goes, I did wind up doing, made sure I had like 2 nice full tables worth of terrain. I have a lot of uncertain scenery, which is MDF based ones that you know, basically like a roads or like a, you know, 2-tiered tunnel system and stuff like that. Really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The one that Rick kicked my ass on.
Yeah, that's the one.
That. Yeah, yeah.
Huh? I didn't kick your ass in that game.
Sounds familiar.
but so I have a couple of those put together, and then I really, especially for the GT, like went and made sure that I painted like all these extra pieces. I don't know if you've seen some of the pieces I've built more recently. I kind of have a more uniformed look for some like space prefabbed kind of like these are the little,
like,
home ones.
The white stuff, right?
Yeah, it's the white base ones.
That. I think it looks awesome.
Thanks. And now I'm doing a whole bunch of ruined terrain and expanding more of a cyberpunk range. I have to figure out what kind of color scheme I want for that yet. We'll be right back.
Hey there, I'm Brian.
And I'm Rick.
This is Blaine. You are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast. Keep listening for more excellent material from these two amazing men. Blaine, out.
Brian also picked up another set of amazing MDF from a local creator in Michigan, which hopefully he's going to get some of that out because it goes right, it plays right into where Mantic has gone with third edition, with the scenery being more in a civilized town, not completely ruined.
Mm-hmm. I really love that push to a bit more inner sphere, as it were.
Well, I just really love that each edition has kind of had its own sort of feel. Like, I think that's really interesting, because I don't think a lot of game systems do that. You know, like, even, like, you know, first edition Kings of War to second edition Kings of War, like, it still feels the same. Nothing feels different. But with Dead Zone, yeah, because of that push towards, like, inner spheres, like, you started out with, like, way out in the boonies prefab terrain stuff, and then you have, like, oh, well, now we're going to get into the industrial mining planets and all that stuff. And now it's like, oh, there's actually cities. Like, it's just really cool how it's, like, getting closer and closer to hitting home. You know, it's just awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And the just that overall push, like, in the lore and everything as well. Like, I know in the Dreadball side of things, we had the Magnetar Circuit, which was the big, you know, kind of events for Dreadball, where it's the four different matches in this one space and very unique environments to play in. And now to hear that Dead Zone 3rd Edition is taking place, like, in the same area has been an interesting, like, evolution. And it's like, oh no, what about Dreadball?
I know, poor Magnetar, man.
Yeah.
It's been through the ringer now.
It's just like all those people we kept hearing about going to Nexus Psi, and it's like, oh.
Oh, you fools. If only you knew.
In fact, one of the stories of the last quarters writing competition ended where the characters are like, oh, let's you know, just escaping a Dead Zone lockdown itself. And they're like, where are we going to? It's like, well, there's one place, Nexus Psi. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. Turn around. You still can. I won't say which story, though. That's up for you guys to find out. No spoilers. But yeah, getting hyped for, like, third edition, like you've been saying, Tyler, is the community itself has really come forward. And like we're saying, like, Mantic is kind of rising to the occasion as well, especially with, like, Easy Army Builder now for
the best thing ever.
The Army List Builder. Like, that was always a criticism people kind of leveled against Mantic in that kind of second edition era where it was they kind of relied on the community driven tools to kind of help assist their game, like Battlescribe and a lot of other people had list builders, and you know, a lot of those were passion projects that, you know, people weren't able to necessarily always keep up to date and whatnot, especially with things that changed.
Well, it also didn't help that the second edition profiles were genuinely fairly confusing. Like, if you switch a weapon, all of a sudden your guy costs this much more, and then this is the different profile, but he still has this, but does he still have that? And, you know, all that stuff getting cleaned up is one of my favorite things about the third edition, you know, release. Is it's just so much cleaner. Everything is just cleaner. Like, the base profile, you just look at it and you go, oh, if that makes sense, cool. Instead of like, oh, so if I wanted to add, this guy can take assault weaponry and also light arms, and then you have to find the light arms, and then you have to find how many points that caught. Like, all that's just gone, and it's so great. Plus, just Easy Army is amazing. I spend way too much time making stuff on Easy Army for Kings of War and Dead Zone now.
Well, I will say there was one change that I was on the fence of, because I absolutely agree. It is so much cleaner now. It's so much easier to understand and read. there was that one little, there was a little trade-off, though. Like, I did feel like you kind of lost that kind of feel of, hey, you have a guy and you're equipping him with something. You're kind of customizing him. But, yeah, you know, that's an okay trade-off for...
Yeah, you're the guy that has, like, 18 striders and you like to kit them all out differently, too. So,
maybe.
You know, I understand that argument, and obviously, you know, you can't win everywhere, but I think for the health of the game, it's just so much easier to just point in one spot and be like, yep, this guy costs 28 points, boom, done.
Absolutely. And that was kind of the name of the game with 3rd edition, I think, because we talked a lot about how, like, 2nd edition, you know, after it had kind of the updates and everything like that, by the end of its run, was a very, very solid game. And that with 3rd edition, it was really just kind of getting those really gimmicky, tricky, gamey things kind of figured out and cleaned up, so that, you know, in a more universal sense, you're not, you know, it's much more clear to everybody what's going on, especially like the line of sight rules were a big change.
I love them now. I really, truly do love them. They're so much better.
Yeah, I think so too. I did love the whole simplicity of that 2nd edition set, but
shoot it.
Yeah, third edition. I absolutely really do like, and it was something where, you know, for those new players that aren't used to sticking a gun barrel outside, you know, around through a hole in a building kind of thing, all those little gimmicky things that kind of pull people out of the experience. I do think the line of sight is a good change moving forward. I think people will get used to it, and it'll just kind of keep improving from there.
But so yeah. What do you think is going to be the biggest surprise going into things like Adeptcon, Tyler, as far as lists?
I'm curious. So, yeah, you guys want to talk about the meta?
Oh,
I don't know, man. I think the meta is going to be all over the place, but I think something that might be really powerful, but I don't know. I haven't got to try it, and I don't know if I even want to try it because it seems kind of gamey to me, is like zero VP model spam. Like, I'm kind of terrified about a list like that, where it's like, oh, I'm just going to throw so much crap out there that you have to kill it, but you don't get anything for it. I don't know, man. Like, that one kind of gets me a little nervous, because I could feel like that could be fairly unfun to play against, and you know someone's going to do it.
Yeah.
There's different avenues to do it, too, right? Like, you can do... I think Plague do it pretty damn well. I think Thralls and Veermen do it very well. I think GCPS recruits are zero VPs, right?
I think they might still be one, actually. But are I know one? Nameless have.
No, see, Nameless don't, which is really sad because my Scuttlers were just feeding Tim points in the last game I played against him.
Oh, no, you're right. Corporation Recruit is zero VP.
So I don't know. I'm curious if that's going to become a meta thing, just because I know that some of the more hardcore lists, I feel like the majority of people that play usually play pretty balanced lists anyways.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm curious if that's going to be a thing or if it's even good. I don't even know if it's good. I just, you know, in my one game where I played Rebs, like,
woo!
Two of my MVPs were, you know, the Survey Drone, which costs zero VPs to kill, and the Z's, who have zero VPs to kill, but you have to waste an action, which is like more expensive than the model, you know? So right. I don't know. I'm curious where that's going to go.
Yeah, it's... I definitely agree. I think we got... Like, everyone has new stuff to play with. As far as lists go. And I think it really is going to be that wonderful new experimentation kind of phase where we get some crazy lists. We get ones that try to find the new balance that are probably not quite there yet. Well, depending on how often people get to play yet. Because I know some game stores are opening back up. That's actually why I got a demo going. Tomorrow is one of the stores, not the ones closest to me, but some stores nearby are opening up. And so I really need to start playing around with some lists again too, I think.
And that's been one of the best things about Dead Zone is, and most Mantic games in general, is that just the balance is pretty darn good. You know, I don't think, even at like the height of second edition, I don't think there was ever like, you know, a meta net list that everyone just had to run. Otherwise it's like, oh, you can't compete. There's nothing mm-hmm. like that. There's definitely like the cheesier ones, like if you spam pulse bombards with the Khaleesi and stuff like that. But I think overall the game is really well balanced as far as things go. And then in terms of playstyle too, within each faction, it's not like you play a whole lot of Veerman lists that play exactly the same mm-hmm. or like plague lists that play exactly the same. I think that's one of the biggest strengths of Dead Zone, is that there's not too many factions to step on each other's toes, but within each faction they still have different ways to solve problems. So yeah. I don't know.
Oh, definitely.
And that's like touching on the factions, like I feel like that's probably where more kind of future balance is probably going to take place, is really kind of making those sub factions within them kind of stand out amongst each other. Cause I know like, I know a lot of people are already complaining about the Enforcer Pathfinders.
But they were broken, and everybody knows it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Everyone who played against that in second edition knows that was the strongest thing. That's as close as a meta breaker
right.
list that we got. And
absolutely,
like to see the tag rifle, to see the tag rifle spam like go down is 100% cool with me.
Mm-hmm. But like that's something that I could really see, you know, having some more unique flavors to really, you know, incentivize people to try out different sub faction lists, especially since we're almost getting to a point where a lot of them have like almost three, because like Forge Fathers have the regular Steel Warriors, you've got the Brockers, and then you have the Artificers now, and I think
it's because it's Ronnie's favorite faction. Big shocker, the other one that has a bunch of different options is Veerman. Rob Berman's favorite faction. So what we need is somebody who just genuinely absolutely loves
Rebs.
Plague. Right.
No, we don't need more Rebs.
But Plague would be an interesting one. We've talked about it before, where like nestled in some of the lore around Nexus Psi, there was talk about Dr. Simmons like manipulating the plague. I don't know if it was, I can't remember the exact language, but it was like either manipulating the virus or something like that, where she could almost have her own sub faction of them. But that does kind of run into, it's like, okay, well, what's different about one group of plague versus another?
Well, and one of my favorite things is just how wide open the door is for that kind of stuff. Like the fact mm-hmm. that they put all the force lists into one separate book from the rule book is great. Like mm-hmm. I am really genuinely excited, because I know within a year or two I won't even look at this book anymore. The force list book will be out of date, which is fine, because my core rule book is still there and it's still perfect. And then as updates come out, I don't have to worry about trying to balance how many books I have, because I'll just, you know, wham, bam, boom, I've got the rules in one, and then whatever updates come out will be in the other one, which I think is really exciting.
Yeah.
I think it's a great, because now, the door's open, they can do whatever. They can do crazy anything. You might even see goblins in space. Who knows?
I'd go for that.
Yeah, a goblin sub-faction in the Marauders. I mean, we do know that Marauders are getting hard plastic in the future, so exciting stuff.
Hey Hey, it's Community Pat, and you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast 2.0 with Rick and Brian.
Rick and Brian? What happened to the other two yahoos? Why are you wasting my time with these guys? I don't even know who these guys are. Dead Zone 2.0, this is stupid.
And I do think, I know a lot of people are wondering right now, I do believe that there are plans for the mercenaries to really kind of come back.
That's my number one thing I miss from Escalation. I thought the mercs list was so much fun. It's so much fun. Every single model's like unique and awesome. It's so cool.
It would be fun to just do a mercs tournament.
Oh yeah, that would be fun. Just like kind of like Overdrive, but in Dead Zone, you just pick your mercs.
Yep.
Draft your mercs. Like, oh, I'm gonna take Wrath, Nastanza, and then you just go down the line. That'd be hilarious. That'd be
fun. Yeah, actually, I wasn't even thinking like that. I was thinking more of like the mercs like list options, but no, you're absolutely right. It's like, yeah.
Although I never understood why the Khaleesi would be in the mercs list. I thought that was stupid. That's a no. Come on. Nobody needs Khaleesi other than Astarians. And Astarians having Khaleesi is already too many Khaleesi.
I think it's safe to say Tyler is not a fan of the Khaleesi.
No, but I do have, I think I have like five of them I need to build and paint.
I recently got a starter set for, so that I could get the Khaleesi set. I do have a plan like for the paint scheme I want to do for the Astarians, because I'm an old school Macross fan, and I already in my Dreadball teams, I've kind of set the Astarians up as like, okay, you guys get the Macross, you know, color scheme and color palette and everything like that. You get to be my giant robot alien people.
That's the next thing on my painting list for Dead Zone is my Astarians, which is actually mostly Matsudan because, you know, they're better and cooler. They're actually not great rules wise. Honestly, the Matsudan are not like super good. I mean, they're fine, but they're not good. They're just way more my aesthetic and my theme. Like, I just really like the idea of them.
I did order a second box of the Matsudan for myself so I could have a full Matsudan list.
Well, yeah. So I have the, I've got the Matsudan, the resin dudes, you know, the proper ones, but then they come with a couple extra weapons, which I put on the Dreadball guys, and then I converted a bunch of the Dreadball guys into, because I think at Adepticon I ended up with like two more teams of Matsudan, which is way too many for Dreadball. I already have a fully painted, you know, Matsudan team, and so then I was like, oh, I'm going to keep these in case I need to use them at some point, and that point has come. Now I can do a full Matsudan list.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Jeff. But also not really sorry, because it's fun to do.
Back in second edition, because I talked to, I think it was Lee at Adepticon, but I was talking to him, and I really wanted to do a Matsudan, you know, force. Except I thought they should have bumped up the size of Matsudan and made them like Kings of War Ogre size, like large infantry, and then had a whole faction of large infantry, because I think that would be a very different way to play, where you only have a few models but they have to be large, you know.
Because
there's some armies that can do like, you know, just peacekeepers or, you know, something like that, but like to have like only big dudes and only have a few of them, I think would be really interesting. And I kind of wish that, you know, the Dreadball ones were the fast, agile Matsudan, who are still huge and fat, but then the battle-ready ones are even huger and even fatter. I thought that would have been awesome, but sure enough, we got what we got, and I like them too.
Mm-hmm. Lots of fun stuff. And I do think with more events happening now, especially with third edition out, I do think we're going to get a little bit more of that development of the stats, and it's really going to start sussing out, you know, where we have some imbalance, where we have, you know, things that people aren't taking. Because that was always the thing I think Mantic's been pretty good at, is they look at It's like, okay, what models are people not taking? And what can we do to revitalize that unit in some way?
Classic Clash of Kings, Kings of War approach. I love it. You know, just mm-hmm. take all the stuff that's underperforming and kind of bring it up to the level of everybody else, rather than, you know, just knocking down the top dogs. But to just give everybody a fair shot of, like, oh, this is actually good. I think like the best example of that is just the generic Enforcer. It's just so much better now in third edition. Or like the Assault Enforcer especially.
Oh yeah.
He's actually takeable. I actually want to run a whole Assault Enforcer army, you know? And that's just something that never happened before.
Second. But I was strange, so.
Well, we all started off that way, right? Because I played Rebs from core second edition book.
Yep.
And I played them all the time.
You young kids. I used to play back in first edition. Back in 2013.
First edition, I only played Enforcers. Levi played the Marauders and Rachel played the Plague. So it was like, okay, I'll play Enforcers.
Okay, I'll play Enforcers.
Yeah, but no, Enforcers are awesome. That's
yes,
they're all awesome, though. I'm like the worst person to try to promote a faction because I'm like, oh, this one's cool. Oh, this one's cool.
Well, that's kind of the thing, right? Is that all of them really have their own flavor. There's, you know, it's almost like meta-based things for people to dislike them, right? It'll be like, well, you know, there's one guy that I played against a lot, and he always played this force or something like that, and so yeah. I hated them for that reason. But it's like, otherwise, mechanically, I think there's less reason for people not to you know, try out a force.
I mean, some of the questions I've been getting, especially on like the big How to Dead Zone video, is like, well, which one should I do? I'm like, I don't know, just pick the one you think looks awesome.
Start with what looks cool.
pick what you think is like the coolest one, and then just go for it, because if it exists, there's probably a way you can play it that's going to match the way you want to play it. Like, even if you pick Asterians, like, you don't have to pick the glass cannon shooting build. That's kind of their hallmark, but that's not the only way to play Asterians, or, you know, any insert army here. Like, there's very different ways to play all of them. Like, the Way to Fire guys just did a battle report not too long ago with Maison Labs, but it was like a monster mash list. It had like two Crassivores and an Aberration. I was like, dude, that's awesome. Like, that's such a cool idea. So, I don't know. I think there's always a way to figure out a way to play what you want to, just pick what you think looks cool. The problem for me is that I think all of them look cool, so I end up playing all of them.
What a terrible problem to have, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a curse. It's a curse.
That's where you really just have to use dice. That's where you just have to use dice to determine. It's like, all right, what am I playing today? But no, it's third edition is just so exciting, and I you know, the path really does seem we can just keep going up from here on out. I think you know, there's a lot of great evolution that can happen mechanically. I think there's a lot of great things that they can introduce and you know, kind of. It's stuff that they kind of had in early second edition. I'd really love to see kind of a revamped for third, which would be like, you know, the Nexus Psi campaign, what was Infestation campaign? Like the campaign books, I think, is what we're going to see a lot more of, to kind of fill in those gaps, between, you know, whenever fourth edition comes out, if we need a fourth edition. But that's something I'm pretty excited for. So like a Magnetar, not circuit per se, but campaign would be kind of a neat next step.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. In terms of like next step, in terms of like factions and stuff, obviously Dreadball has like 100,000 factions, but what do you guys think would be really cool in Dead Zone? I'm curious, like, if there's a new Dead Zone faction to come along in the next, I don't know, year or two, what would you like want it to be?
Oh wow.
That's a tough one. Cause there's a lot. There's a lot already established through Dreadball, but then it's still like we're kind of finding with the writing contest, it's like the sky is still the limit. Like one guy had a story with this kind of sentient fungus that, you know, convinced people to eat it so that it would continue to spread. That still feels right at home in the Warpath universe. My gut instinct would always be to go with the rest of the Rebs. Like the Rebs Dreadball team has like three, well, it has like five.
Oh, I know, the Rallarats. Those kids are,
yeah,
awesome.
The Rallarats, the frog dudes, and then the
I think Rallarats are the frog dudes. I think the,
yeah.
What are the Jacks called? The guys on the Centaur dudes? What are they called?
The name is escaping me, and I don't have my book in front of me. I'm such a bad Rebs player.
I just haven't played the Dreadball team in so long. Let me see if I can find it on the website. I bet it's on there.
Yeah.
Galleon.
Yeah, Galleon Jacks.
Yeah.
I think they would be fun to have into the Rebs force, but apart from an actual addition to the Rebs.
Of course you immediately went to Rebs, like, oh yeah, I think they need more stuff.
I think they need more stuff.
You know what they need is more variety. That's what Rebs are lacking, is variety.
Yeah, because that's what we're going to go with.
Which is unfortunately the double-edged sword of from a production standpoint, because when we talked to Rob, he was like, it's one of the big reasons keeping them out of Firefight is like, figuring out the logistics of a production line.
How do you do a sprue of Rebs?
How do you do a sprue with all these different bodies?
I have no idea, because you can only make so many multi-part kids.
Yeah. But actually, Rick, you can go. I'll.
Well, you know, it's, we've talked a lot about it, like the Dreadball teams and whatnot, and but I realized I was looking over my models and what Tyler just talked about. About the size thing, I would love to see ogres.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool.
The ogre now over in the GCPS list.
He's an absolute unit.
Yeah. So to see that become an actual faction, that bigger than the Peacekeeper kind of army, that'd be fun.
Well, and you know, I'm also an ogre player in Kings of War, so I just like that large infantry look. You know, like, I like that size of model. I think it's just really fun to paint, and the fact that you only need like, you know, five or six is really interesting to me. But like, yeah. I just think it's a really interesting, especially now with the introduction of like HP, of like having health points instead of based on size, is you can actually start tweaking the power of units just by changing that stat, like significantly.
Yeah, and it adds like, a great dynamic.
I think it could be viable. You know, they don't have to have super high armor or like really good saves or anything, but if they just had a bunch of HP just to soak up damage, like that's, I don't know, it's just interesting to me. And it's like a new route they could go, which would be different from everything else that we have.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Tyler?
I don't know, man. Part of me thinks that part of me thinks the chorus guys would mechanically be super interesting.
Of course, it'd be.
Yeah, because for people who aren't Dreadball lingo friendly, these are the guys that are, they have four arms and four legs, and they create portals. So their whole gimmick is that they make portals everywhere. And I'm trying to figure out how that would even work mechanically.
I mean, yeah, so it would just teleport. A lot of them would just have teleport. I think that would be interesting. Troop levels that have teleport that are maybe melee focused. It's like having a 2-3, but with no, you know, not necessarily needing a path to get there. Be kind of interesting.
It could be interesting mechanically, but I think model wise, I think it would be not quite cool enough. Just because I feel like, if you look at the Jacks and the Strikers or whatever they are, and or the, guards, like, they all look kind of the exact same. So that would be the thing that kind of pulls me away from that one in particular. But it's still interesting.
What about the Crystallins?
Ooh, yeah, that could be your tanky faction.
Because they're, like, it's established that they hate the Forge Fathers because the Forge Fathers crack their home worlds, basically, because a lot of them live, like, in deep core of planets and whatnot. And the Forge Fathers just, like, crack them open like a walnut. So there's already, like...
Yeah, it's already that lore beef, you know?
Yeah, there's already animosity like there. And you have all these other factions essentially doing the same thing. With strip mining or glassing planets and stuff like that, I think that would be really interesting to have a full, like, fleshed out race of rock people.
Yeah, and you can I mean, rock people get big. Just look at the greater Earth elemental; those things get enormous. So, like,
yeah,
the sky's the limit in terms of, like.
And hey, look, unit variety there's a dead zone model there, Mantic. You just bring the Earth Elemental over.
Oh, do you know how big an Earth Elemental is, Brian?
I've got a couple. So what I'm hearing is it's like size 2 is the minimum for a troop unit.
Yeah, literally the last time I tried to, when we did our most recent battle report with the Nameless and the Veermen, I had a Nameless list that had a Goliath in it. And I really wanted to use it, but then I built the terrain, and I set up the board, and I was like, this is so... Like, we knock over our terrain all the time anyways on camera, and I was like, I don't want to, like, add to that. This thing's a brick. So I switched it out for a Bathabite. Which, in hindsight, was probably the wrong decision, because I got my butt kicked, but whatever.
John Jack here from Dreadball Commercials. You've seen me. You love me. You know you want me. Here you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast with Rick and Brian. Don't turn that dial or I'm coming for you.
But no, the like we're saying, like, Dreadball has just a full catalog of species to choose from, many of whom have beef with some faction or race or, you know, group of people out there that have rubbed them the wrong way.
And as much as I like the Ada Lorena guys, they're a little too samey. Like, I think they'd be an interesting, like, addition into a different faction, you know, like,
yes,
as a model here or there, but not as, like, a whole team.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're a good supplement somewhere.
Yeah, they'd probably plus, be good. I don't know the... I also don't know the production abilities of translucent plastic, but
yeah, that's also fair.
They look pretty rad.
but no, like, I think it'd be neat to also see a lot more of psychic abilities kind of come into play, because Nameless is kind of the front and center for that.
It's like Nameless and the Tangle and Chovars, and that's like the only things.
That feels like an untapped space. Maybe that would be a good evolution for the plague.
Oh God!
To have psychic
start infecting plagues. The mind as well.
Who knows? It's all madness. But no, third edition already rules, and I think it's going to continue for quite a while.
I mean, the whole thing about third edition that it's just got all the creative juices flowing, you know, that's all that needs to be said. It's just got me excited for the current state. It gets me excited for the future. Like, it's just awesome.
Yeah.
I'm just so happy at this particular stage of Dead Zone's, out in the wild appearance. Yeah. Like, it's just so cool. And I keep seeing stuff that just makes me, like, regret's not the right word, but, like, things that are like, oh my God, you can do that with terrain, you know.
Yes.
And then, and that's another, you know, kind of un untouched aspect of the hobby that maybe is not readily apparent right away is just how much fun you can have, like, building terrain. Almost, as we've said before, is like as the third player, right? Is that, you know, whatever you craft and how you build it goes a long way. So, like, there's so much character you can even bring into that aspect of the game.
One of my long-term dreams would be, and this is probably not economically feasible for both me or Mantic, would be to see like faction-specific terrain, to see what like Forge Father Battlezone styles look like,
yep.
Or to see like Asterion like curvy wavy, you know. Like smooth stuff. Oh, I'm sure you guys have geeked out about this before, but it would be
And actually, is it Death Race Designs? They've done some cyberpunk terrain in the past that I've got, and it's a little bit off scale, but they actually do have like a space dwarf line. And it's pretty wicked. It's cool stuff. It's very, very like Viking oriented, as you can imagine.
Yeah, stoic Norse blocky. Yeah.
yeah. But no, you're absolutely right. Seeing more of the kind of an expanded aesthetic, as it were, more of the alien homeworld designs, I think, would be really neat. Of course, we're also the guys that are like, ooh, what would it be like to play Dead Zone on like an organic looking field or in treetops or
the picture in the rule book for the Nameless World. You know the one I'm talking about, right?
Yeah,
Purple and blue one that's on. Let me see what if I can find what page it's on, so other people can gawk at it.
We're it's all like flipping through this at the same time trying to find it.
It's on page 47 of the rule book.
Yep.
And I think it is the coolest thing ever. I just want to go there.
Dude,
also,
can you imagine,
I don't know why
like...
the Psychotroid is so huge in that picture. I think it looks like King Kong's like
nemesis. It looks like a Goliath in there.
Yeah.
Maybe those are the very old ones. You know. The young ones are the ones going off to war. The old ones.
The old ones, dude, have to hold down the whole planet.
Right? Can you imagine the little scuttlers like having grass as a terrain feature so it gives line of sight cover for all like size ones?
I like where your head's at. Just so many things I want to try. Third edition just got me going.
And then there's like page 30, actually. We have a bunch of Khaleesi about to drop down on some Brockers, but it looks like a really almost jungly slash, they're it looks like they're over one of their shield drones or something like that, but also kind of that, you know, more jungle terrain would be awesome.
I need to revamp my jungle terrain. It's been forever since I played in the jungle. Because I made a jungle board like forever and a half ago, but all the foliage and stuff has kind of fallen apart, and I need to like update it because that was really fun games. Because it's just so different. It just feels different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then there's page 62, which has a whole bunch of round and curvy terrain. Fun stuff.
So, have you guys, just to switch up the topic slightly, have you guys played the new Firefight at all? Have you had a chance to try it out?
I've played a little bit of the beta, yeah.
What are your thoughts? Because I haven't got to try it yet, and I really want to, but I kind of need to study up again before I try to sell Tim on playing that instead of Dead Zone.
Sure. It's,
Because I'd love to do a battle report of it, too, just to, you know, have it out there. I have always enjoyed like testing games and like giving them a try, but it looks promising to me. It looks way more fun than original Firefight, and I was actually one of the few proponents of you know, OG Warpath and Firefight, but I just feel like this looks better to me. I just want to try it out, but I want to see what you think.
For sure. It's I will preface this review in that I am terrible at these kind of war games. I played against myself and I set up my terrain with a big empty space in the middle. And I'm like, yeah, I'll just charge my melee guys across the field. That'll go great. They got wiped out.
Well, that's usually what happens when people with guns go against people that don't have guns.
True. It plays... I did find it to play really quickly and smoothly. There is a lot of focus on... You kind of have a leader point model that you kind of use to draw like line of sight from. And you do a lot of like the movement around this unit.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. That's one of the things I'm like, I don't know, we'll see.
I liked it in that it kept things moving at a really good pace. I did feel like the mechanics of like going into a building and occupying it were a lot smoother. Like, it is like you basically move up, you touch the terrain, and as long as there's nothing inside it, you can occupy it. Which, you know, then opens you up to basically drawing line of sight from the building. So a lot of that I did kind of like in that, you know, maybe it is just kind of like a bit more of a skirmish feel to it than like a Kings of War-y kind of thing.
Yeah, but one of my things I'm worried about in terms of like enjoyment of the game is I feel like, and this was kind of a problem I had with the previous, you know, Warpath and Firefight. They both did this where you kind of snap into the terrain, kind of like an RTS. Like, you know, when you're playing a real-time strategy game and you're playing Dawn of War or whatever, and you have guys go into a building and they just like disappear off the table and then they're just in the building. I don't know if I... Like, mechanically, I understand why that's the thing. I just personally don't like it because it's like, I play games to look at miniatures on the table.
That's right.
You know? And so it's kind of like, poof, there they go. Yep, now they're shooting from this building and there's no reason they should leave kind of thing. So I don't know. I have concerns, but I want to try it as well.
That's definitely a fair point. Like, when you do occupy a building, there is almost no reason to leave unless there's an objective that you're heading towards. There was a change. I was kind of sad they kind of went away from those command dice, the D8 sided ones, and they went to essentially the power dice from Vanguard.
Yeah, the Vanguard style, right?
Yeah, which I think does kind of lend itself well in that you can really streamline some things. It was always really confusing to me with those the Warpath command dice.
Those were super confusing. And everybody forgot to use them, and everybody forgot what you can do with them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, I don't know, with my critical hat on, it's like, are we really going to try to model off Vanguard? Because Vanguard has its own set of problems that I'm not a huge fan of, and so...
That's fair. It is some kind of weird hybrid of Vanguard meets... a much more range-centric game.
I think Vanguard needs to hit up a second edition that's got more Dead Zone in it.
I would be inclined to agree with that.
I was always thinking that it would be fun if to kind of accomplish almost the cubed system for Vanguard to just use a grid.
Amen, brother. I've been saying that since the game came out. I don't see why you couldn't do it, because, like, you don't even have to have like cubical terrain like you do in Dead Zone, like, because you would need a lot less terrain in theory for Kings of War. It's, you know, I don't think it's as important. I don't know, because there's less guns.
Yeah,
so why? It shouldn't matter, you know, as much. Yeah. So I don't know. I've always thought that the cube thing was the best thing Dead Zone has going, and.
Yeah.
That's what makes it such a good skirmish game, is I don't have to spend time with a tape measure making sure I'm out of this guy's charge range. I just look and I'm like, oh,
exactly.
I'm in three cubes. Crap.
Crap.
Yeah. But yeah, I did enjoy the couple of times I tested it. It was one of those things where, like, it's actually the reason why I painted up my enforcers, was because it's like, okay, I need to have so many models on the field for these guys.
Well, and that's why I want to try it.
You've got the models for it.
Yeah, I want to put out a cyberpunk city, like a full city, and see how it looks. You know,
that would be interesting. Like a city fight in Firefight would be really, really neat. But yeah, I would say give it a fair shake. Try it out. Like I said, I don't play these games, like that style of game, very frequently.
Yeah,
and even when I did, I was terrible at it. When I played 40K many moons ago, it was fun when I played against all my high school buddies because we were bad at it and everything like that. And then, like, the one time I played 40K outside of my friends group with a total stranger, I just got tabled. And it was like, oh, I've been playing this game so wrong. I'm not good at it. But I did enjoy it. I did think that the speed of it, that it moved along at a very good clip. And I wasn't, like, the components from Vanguard that were in it didn't bother me too much. But it sounds
like most of the cool stuff from Vanguard. It's not like the crunchy, weird, you know, this unit's breaking, fatigued, and bracing at the same time stuff.
Vanguard is a very crunchy game.
It just needs the second edition, you know.
It's opportunity.
Yeah. I think Firefight is very promising to build off of what they've kind of been putting together. So I hope it continues to grow and evolve. I think one thing, my own kind of critique on it was that because of, like, so much of it was just kind of focusing on the mechanics, things didn't really feel unique from each other. But I do think, you know, when I did play it, this was like when they only had four forces out. I know that's expanded. I think they're at six or more.
Well, and to be fair, it's more important to get the core mechanics down before we figure out flavor. So
yeah, absolutely.
But so, I just wanted to hear your thoughts on it because I want to give it a try, mostly because I have 100 enforcers that look ready to go. and like 200 plague and like 300 veermen, and I'm just ready to see them all out. But
No, definitely give it a shot. I think it's worth checking out. I think your input would also, you know, someone who did really like Firefight and did, you know, does really like Warpath from the original set. Like, I do think that kind of input would be valuable to the team as well.
Yeah, you're always trying to sell me on doing more, aren't you, Mr. Pathfinder, sir?
You should just make a video on that.
Accurate. Not wrong.
Make a video.
But no, I definitely understand, you know, production that goes behind that kind of stuff. Oh, man. I just do a podcast and it's already like, I'm always... Yeah, Rick can attest, how many times is it like the night before the episode drops is when I have finally edited up?
Yeah. If you noticed, I waited to the last possible second right before the official launch of third edition to get my crap together for the How to Dead Zone thing. I was like, I need to get this done before launch. I said like a month and a half before, and then I was like 2 days before, and I was like, I need to finish this video.
Now,
so, yeah, I get the procrastination / time constraints.
Yeah.
Good. So, what's the horizon for Tyler?
Hopefully, I can keep going with the channel. I've actually seen quite a bit of growth in terms of like subscribers and people watching and commenting, which has been super exciting.
Nice.
So, I'd like to keep doing videos. Right now, I'm roughly, kind of, sort of, vaguely once a week-ish. So I'd like to continue the pace. I think it's been pretty fun. Plus, when Mantic sent me Dead Zone, they accidentally, and I truly mean accidentally, sent me Overdrive. So I kind of feel like I owe them. I need to like do something with Overdrive. Even if it's just yanking out all the Dead Zone guys and using them, because I don't have Krastivore. Also, why doesn't Shark Guy, why doesn't he have a profile on Dead Zone? Who's dropping the ball on that?
I agree. Like, when I think Lee did the same. Lee did the same thing when he did an all-sphere Rebs team all those years ago. His giant shark guy was his Territon, I believe.
Makes sense to me. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. So, yeah, I think I just want to keep doing some video ideas, and I think the most immediate couple ideas would be get Overdrive and then how it pertains to Dead Zone players, because that's where I am with it. Mm-hmm. I'm not... Overdrive to me seems like one of the kind of games that I would love to play at Adepticon with other people that already know how to play it, that I just kind of hop in and play. Like, that's the kind of game I see that as, because, like, one of my favorite things to do at an event like Adepticon is when we all play Jeff Burbage's Ultimate. That's, like, the coolest thing ever. Because it's something I can never organize myself. You know, I would never be able to get six people that all know Dreadball well enough to play, but also, you know, just want to jam. Plus, his stuff is gorgeous, but that's not the point. Like, I to me, that's what Overdrive reminds me of. And I don't really know the mechanics or how crunchy it can get or how, you know, in-depth the tactics are and how, you know, because Dreadball, I skim the surface of Dreadball. I'm like a very Dreadball light player. But then every time I play it, I'm like, oh, I should play this game more. So I don't know if Overdrive's like that, but I definitely am interested in the miniatures in there for sure. And so I want to do that video, and then I think the most important video that I want to do in the immediate future, now that I have the terrain actually built, is kind of if I were to buy the third edition box set, kind of the step two, like the okay, now what? Which is, fortunately, Mantic really did kind of go out of their way to actually help, like, hold your hand and, like, kind of tell you, you know, with the demo board on the back and, you know, that kind of stuff. I think that's a huge step. And the fact that there's actually a booklet of how to put stuff together is...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A brand new thing for Mantic, so big thumbs up for that. I think that was well needed. But I want to do kind of a how I would build the first... or the third edition box set, and like what would my starting list be. I have a pretty good idea of two lists, you know, one for GCPS and one for Veerman that are 150 points that I'm pretty happy with, that kind of use all the miniatures in the box. I might need to tweak it a little bit so you have a little bit more special weapons, just because the only issue for me with this box is that I still think that the best thing that both of those factions can do is spam one unit. I think if you spam veterans, if you spam veterans for GCPS, you're going to have a good time. And if you spam stalkers for Veerman, you're going to have a good time. So they definitely, you know, they definitely cater to that that type of play style. But I don't know. I think those are my two next videos in theory, and then obviously if I can continue doing battle reports as Tim is available and can come up and all that, that would be sweet.
Yeah.
So do you have any idea what you're gonna play at Adepticon?
In a word, absolutely not.
That's, I know those, a couple of words.
I'm a heavy tipper. And unfortunately, I can't take credit for that joke. That is stolen from Rocky and Bullwinkle. in terms of Adepticon, you guys said it was 200 points, right? That's
200 points. Sure. Yep, I'm running 200.
I have no idea. I like all the factions. That's my problem. Part of me really... I think the faction that's got my attention the most right now at the moment is probably Nameless. I just think they're incredibly interesting. in a way that all the other factions, I don't know, it's just, it's more hybrid than most factions. I feel like Mazon Labs and Nameless are the most hybrid-y,
mm-hmm.
where they need the most synergy, and I find that really interesting. Plus, I really like the way my Nameless turned out in terms of the way they look. I'm very happy with the paint scheme. I think it just looks cool. So that's up there. But I don't know. Because I think I ran...
Because it's coming soon.
I know. And I've been to 3 Adepticons for Dead Zone, and I think I did Plague twice and Nameless once in terms of Dead Zone. So, I don't know what that says about me, but... And then it's like, oh, well, I just did all these Enforcers, and I like the way they turned out, so maybe Enforcers. And then I keep second-guessing myself, so I'm way too far out from the event to have an answer for you.
Isn't that always the struggle, though? It's like, I just painted these guys. I want to get them in front of people. But I want to play this team, too. Which is another reason why I should paint some new Rebs.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Speaking of new Rebs, I have to check out the Tigrex, who I have now. I need to actually open the box, because I have it sitting there waiting to do a video, and I haven't done the video.
Pretty awesome.
I need that guy.
I have him. I don't know why I need him.
Exactly. Maybe for overdrive.
But,
yeah.
Well, yeah, I'll either use him for overdrive, or maybe I'll kit bash him. Since my...
You're not going to plague him up, are you?
He's awesome as a plague. But I'm right next to my Strider that I can't use anymore.
And then as I've finished painting all these projects, I rebased all my Rebs, I did all the Enforcers, as I'm getting these guys actually done, I think I'd love to do some faction-focused videos. Mm. An in-depth, there's a few models I still want to get completed before I do that. For the Rebs, I want to do the Tigrex. I want to get him painted so I can talk about him in the video and have visuals to show for it. Also, the Psychotroid for Nameless, I still don't have that. I need to do that. I don't know. I've got too many video ideas and not enough time.
That sounds familiar.
Also, yeah. Too many games to play and not enough time. We're also on the edge of the Clash of Kings for
yep. Right. Yeah, Kings of War.
And that's going to be an explosion. I mean, it's going to be so cool to see everybody
get the book. Yeah, because that's bringing some stuff back that people are excited about.
Yeah. Elves shooting on fours.
The thing about that book is that it's not like, oh man, this is going to be so good now. It's like literally every single army is like, oh, that's so cool. Oh, wait, but that... Oh, this is... Ooh, look at this. And it's every single page in that book is ooh, that's really interesting. I could do an army of blah. And it's oh my God. I don't have enough time for all this. But I can't be happier.
Good stuff. Well, thanks again for coming on the show, Tyler. It really has been too long for us to have you on, but we're glad that you're back on the Dead Zone hype train and moving forward on that front.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime, guys. It's so much fun. You guys are always so fun to hang out with, so...
Yeah.
It's so natural, you know? I hopefully our segues weren't too horrendous, and hopefully people can follow the conversation. It's not too bad.
We just...
We go with it. At most, I might have, bullet points of stuff we want to make sure we talk about, but how we get there is often, up for grabs. Yeah. Today I didn't have any kind of agenda, so...
I just wanted to talk about the meta. That's the only thing I could think of that I really wanted to talk with you guys, but that's about it.
Yeah.
So there I'd was say one relative mission success.
Yeah. Brian had, he had 9 or 10 bullet points that were we need to talk about this, 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 and this. By the time we finished the episode, I think we got through 3 of them going, whoops. Oh, well, next time.
Next time.
Whoops, we ended up talking about Dreadball again somehow. Whoopsie.
I mean, we do that intentionally, but...
Yeah.
We need to talk more about Star Saga when that comes. We want more Star Saga stuff.
I'd love to play more Star Saga. I've only got to play the core Eris contract. I haven't done any of the expansions, which is really sad because I have like all the expansions, but I haven't got to play them.
Same. The thing we kind of come to is like Rick and I, we had started playing it with two like custom characters, kind of for the show, and it became so difficult for us to like meet up and devote that much time
and not play Dead Zone. I know.
And not play Dead Zone. Like honestly, it was when we, you know, it's like, well, we could just play Dead Zone or we could play Star Saga. So I think it's one of those things. I might just go through Star Saga myself to really get the full story because like there's a lot there.
I have strongly considered doing that, and I've also considered reading the books, and I was like, no, I can't do that. I have to play through them.
You can't just read the books, you have to play through it.
But I've considered it. That's the problem. It's like I've considered it and I just can't do it. I have to find the time to play it.
It sounds like you need to make a video through Star Saga.
You're not wrong.
That's the answer. That's always the answer. Tyler, make a video.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wish that was always the answer. That's always the that's always the demand. It's good to be demanded, I guess. It's a good place to be in.
All right. Well, thanks again so much for coming on.
100%, yeah, guys.
I think my wife's ready for me to get off.
All right. Well, have a nice night, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Tyler, do the social media thing.
Where can people find your stuff?
Like they don't know. Like anyone who's listening to Dead Zone the podcast hasn't heard of my name on here like 1,000 times. Yeah, you can follow me at Dreadpath Zone on YouTube or on Facebook.
Wow, Dreadpath Zone on YouTube and Facebook.
Yes, feel free to like, comment, subscribe, and keep rolling eights, you guys.
This is a fun job.
You would think after 3 years we would have something a little bit more structured at the beginning, at the end, but it doesn't seem to work for us.
Nah, you guys, structure's not exactly your forte.
That's what my Dead Zone scenery says to me, too.
Oh, sad. Okay, just real quick, now that we're off air,